We are going to get healthy this hour, or at least discuss simple things we can do to stay healthy with our guest fitness guru. I'm Joy Cardine, and this is the Ideas Network. We're also going to talk about keeping Wisconsin Public Radio healthy. This is the first day of our spring membership drive, and Bill Mertens joins me to encourage you to make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. Bill, by the way, is not a fitness guru. He is the producer of this program, but he's in pretty good shape. Listeners provide the single largest source of funding here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and this drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Happy Pledge Drive, Joy, and everybody. Our goal is 10 pledges this hour, and it's a great time to give because we are celebrating our first 100 years of broadcast. Your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 gets us one step closer to meeting our goal, and it means a strong start to funding the programs you count on for the next 100 years.
And I sure hope to be here for the next 100 years as well. Maybe I will with the tips from our guest book this hour. So what does public radio mean? Well, public radio means listener-supported radio.
That's right. And while we do appreciate business contributions and federal and state tax dollars, listener support is the single largest source of WPR's budget. Your contribution of any amount really matters at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You listen to WPR because you can count on unbiased reporting, interesting discussions, great music. You make Wisconsin a better place by listening and by being a more well-rounded person.
You're a listener. Now take the step and become a member. Your first ever donation of, say, $5 or $10 a month makes Wisconsin a place where great radio is available to everyone. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
2017 marks WPR's first 100 years. And what better way to honor the occasion than with a wonderful tradition? Ask for the latest WPR Artist Mug when you give $13 a month. This year's mug is inspired by one of the very first WPR programs, Let's Draw, which taught art in classrooms through the radio. The design is colorful and fun, with artwork by schoolchildren throughout Wisconsin from the 1950s. It represents our timeless commitment to education and the arts. From our earliest days to today, we're all about lifelong learning. Celebrate with us. Ask for your mug when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is a cool mug. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Mertens, and we are asking for your support of WPR during our spring membership drive. This is the first day of a short spring membership drive, and your gift helps fund the programs that you depend on at Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose. That's the right amount.
That's right. Give the amount that's right for you. And if you need some help figuring it out, well, consider this. Say you hear three things a day that you're really glad you heard. And if you paid a dime for each one of those, that would work out to $10 a month. So make that contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are hoping to get 10 pledges during this hour to get this drive off to a good start. 2017 marks 100 years of Wisconsin Public Radio. So happy birthday to Wisconsin Public Radio. You make it all possible. Your gift today ensures a bright future for the programs that you rely on every day. Make your centennial gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Again, ask for the latest WPR artist mug that features work by kids from the 1950s. It's very colorful, a lot of fun. And it's yours when you give $13 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Bill, I am probably old enough that I could have made one of these drawings, but I did
not. This is not your artwork on
this
mug?
This is not my artwork.
Okay.
But it is. It's. I always thought it was amazing that Wisconsin Public Radio, a pioneer in public broadcasting, used to have a show called Let's Draw.
Yeah.
I mean, teaching art on the radio.
Think
why
about
not?
That. It seems like it shouldn't work, but it
but
did.
But it did. It did. And people remember it and people love it. And this is a great way to for us to say thank you to you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up. Convenient, ongoing, monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. You can get started with that $13 a month contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Again, we're looking for 10 more pledges this hour, and you can get in on the fun at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right, thank you, Bill. We will talk to you in just a bit. So are you trying to ramp up your health and fitness routine now that spring is here, supposedly, and summer is just around the corner? Are you looking forward to more outdoor activities? Are you maybe trying to shed a little bit of winter weight? Are you just interested in maintaining good health as you get older? I know where you're coming from. We have lots of advice for you this hour. And we welcome your questions and your own fitness suggestions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Our guest is Scott Douglas, a contributing editor for Runner's World and author of more than 7 books. His latest is 100 Things You Can Do to Stay Fit and Healthy, Simple Steps to Build Your to better your body and improve your mind. I got to do some of these tips. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
It's nice to have you here. I will, in the spirit of full disclosure, say that my very fit and healthy husband got your book and brought it home, and I started reading it, and I thought, well, this will be an interesting show. People will love this.
Good.
Yeah, and we'll get into many of the 100 tips that that you say that we can do. But first, what does it mean to become a choice architect?
So a choice architecture is a fancy way of saying set things up in your life so that it's easy to do the right thing. The term started in behavioral economics, and the classic example is your employer has a retirement plan, and if they set it up so that you have to opt, so that the default is opting in, then people are more likely to participate in the plan than if you have to choose to opt in. When I came across that term, I thought this is a key to living a healthy, fit life, because if you set things up so that it's easier to do the right thing, then you're more likely to do them. So you can learn, you can know all the stuff that you need to do, but if your life is set up such that it's more difficult to do them, then of course it's less likely that you'll do them. Mm-hmm. So one like classic example would be, you know, if you keep a bottle of water by your desk or wherever you work, instead of like, oh gosh, I'm thirsty, now I have to get up and get water. And that sort of thing, just on a regular basis, building that into your life, it makes it so much easier to just sort of regularly practice the real simple good habits that over a lifetime build to good health.
Yeah. So should we do all 100 things that you have in the book?
That might be a little much. My goal with the book is to just show that, you know, we have this, a lot of people I think have this concept of, being healthy. Well, what does that mean? And it's really a series of small little practices and steps that you can take, you know, on a daily, hourly basis. And so my goal is just present a bunch of little things that you can do that over the course of a day and a month and years, then will build to better health. So I certainly don't want anyone to think like, oh gosh, I'm going to read this book, start doing these 100 things today. It's more that here are some suggestions on ways to, you know, pretty simply improve your health by doing things that will have a cumulative effect.
So let's dig into some of the diet-related advice. One tip,
sure,
of course, that I enjoy as I'm enjoying my coffee right now is
sure,
enjoy your morning coffee. Why
Certainly.
Should we do that, and how does that help our health?
Well, you should enjoy your morning coffee, first of all, because we should enjoy things in life. But in terms of the health benefits of coffee, there's for those of us who love coffee, it's great to know that there's been a lot of research on the health benefits of coffee and moderate consumption, which is, you know, somewhere in the, around 3 cups a day, has been associated with lower incidence of many types of disease, such as cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes. It also, as we all know, improves our mood. It can help with some cognitive tasks. So if you're doing things like trying to recall dates or work that involves sort of straightforward processing of facts, that helps. And over time, it's been found that people who are sort of regular moderate coffee drinkers have less signs of cognitive decline in their later years. And of course, it tastes great and makes us all feel better. So I've already had my cup and a half so far today, and I'll be having more after the show.
Yeah, me too. I love it when what I think is a vice is not a vice.
Exactly. The same thing, you know, that, there's been research on dark chocolate, the health benefits of dark chocolate. And I've actually interviewed a chocolate researcher, which is a fascinating way to make a living. And, you know, there's research that shows that, you know, a small amount of dark chocolate a day helps lower some incidence of some disease because of the antioxidants in the dark chocolate.
Can I have dark chocolate for breakfast?
Yeah, dip it in your coffee.
Why not? But one of your tips is eat a good breakfast. It is indeed the most important meal of the day.
Actually, researchers are sort of in, not
mixed
sure that there's
that.
So much of, yeah, but it is important because of the long time that most of us have gone without having something to eat by the time that we wake up. And the importance of breakfast seems to be that your blood sugar levels stay more level throughout the day if you start the day with having a little something to eat, and that then sort of keeps your blood sugar from spiking after subsequent meals in the day. And blood sugar, in general, blood sugar spikes, you know, aren't great. They sort of mess with your blood chemistry. So, it doesn't have to be a big breakfast, and it doesn't, it's just something to sort of get your blood sugar stabilized is seems to be quite helpful.
Yeah, and it probably shouldn't be a donut or something that's in our pledge drive room right now.
Yeah. Well, we make exceptions for pledge drives, right?
But I know that you also say beware of added sugar in what you eat or buy because
sure.
We get enough sugar already.
Yeah. So by added sugar, I mean things that, you know, that sugar that might be a surprise to find that it's in a product that you buy. So, you know, if you were to buy some processed bread, for example, or like ketchup or peanut butter, things like that, that, you know, in their more processed forms have sugar that you might not expect to find. You know, of course, eat a donut, you assume like, yeah, I'm having some of my sugar allotment for the day. But if you put peanut butter on some processed bread, you might not think like, oh, this is going to be a source of sugar. So I think it's always a good idea to read food labels because, you know, with the more processed things get, the more surprising ingredients there can be in there. And it might not be what you want to be eating from that, you know, from that item.
I did have a little experiment during Lent. I just decided to see if I could give up sugar, mostly, you know, sweets and cupcakes and things like that. But I also was reading labels, and I was amazed how much sugar was in things you wouldn't expect it to be there, like, you know, like salad dressing or something
salad
like that.
Salad dressing is a big one, right. Yeah. It's, yeah.
But, and that's, that actually gets me to another point. You say that you should eat home-cooked meals, maybe by not eating out so much or buying that processed food.
Yeah. So home-cooked meals is kind of odd in that, you know, just over the past couple generations, it seems like cooking has become this sort of artisanal undertaking when it's really what, you know, what we all did for over the last thousands of generations. My point in advocating home-cooked meals on the nutrition front is that it's much more likely that you're going to then have meals that you can identify all the ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
In. You know, if you make a salad dressing with olive oil and lemon juice and a little salt, well, you know what's in that salad dressing.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy the salad dressing, you know, there's going to be xanthan gum, and, as we've talked about, sugar and maybe a food dye. And the same thing would apply to the spaghetti. You know, if you make a spaghetti sauce, it's probably, you know, it's going to have, you can identify what's in it. So your chances of having more healthful meals would seem to increase with home-cooked meals. And then there's the social aspect of spending time with your family, you know, cooking, preparing food, and sort of regaining the sense that making food is a normal, natural, good thing rather than, you know, some exotic undertaking that you have to watch a TV show to learn how to do.
And finally on diet, and we'll get to a lot of other tips after the break. You write, when you eat, just eat. So,
yeah. So, distract, you know, it's very easy in our lives these days to be distracted no matter what we're doing, you know, driving, talking with somebody else, and eating. And when you do other things while eating, the research has shown that you tend to eat more, and you tend to eat more quickly. And, you know, when you sort of eat more quickly, then there's a tendency to eat more. And it's funny because I subsequently found that, I'm not trying to be a Zen master, but I subsequently found this in this that same phrase in a meditation book. And so on the nutrition front, it helps you to sort of eat a more reasonable amount. But there's also just this idea of, like, we could all benefit from, in eating or anything else, from sort of slowing down a little bit and, you know, sort of being more present and focusing on whatever we're doing, to help our sort of mental health along with our physical health.
We are talking with Scott Douglas. He is the author of 100 Things You Can Do to Stay Fit and Healthy, Simple Steps to Better Your Body and Improve Your Mind. When we come back, we'll talk about bettering our bodies and, a little later, improving our minds. And we welcome your questions. We welcome your own tips, things that you like to do, simple things that you do maybe every single day to help you stay fit and healthy. Our number is 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network, and we are in our spring membership drive. Your support is the foundation of our budget. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs. We will get back to our discussion on healthy things to do every day in just a moment. But first, Bill Martins is with me to encourage you to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 right now and make your gift in support of the programs you count on.
By the way, did you say there were donuts in Pledge Central?
I don't know. Are there? There usually are.
We haven't confirmed that?
Yes.
Okay, I'll report back on that.
Okay.
All right, well, help pay for the programs you depend on, like the Joy Cardine Show, and we are looking for 9 more pledges in the next 35 minutes or so. Make that donation right now. Start the day off right and support the programs you enjoy at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are celebrating our centennial this year. For 100 years, listeners like you have relied on WPR programs to learn and to understand, to make up your mind, and to pursue your dreams.
We're proud to be stewards of this useful information, and we look forward to the next 100 years in partnership with you. Listener support is an important part of our future, and you ensure information is available to everyone when you make your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our monthly giving program is becoming more and more popular. In fact, we have more than 20,000 sustainers, and that number is growing day by day.
Give it a shot. You're going to like this. You set up a monthly amount to come from your bank account or credit card, and then you sit back and relax. It's easy to get started with a gift of $10 a month or whatever amount works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What kinds of things do you spend a dollar a day on?
I easily spend a dollar a day on coffee, even if I buy cheap coffee.
My gym membership, I definitely spend probably more than a dollar a day on.
The bus.
I spend a dollar a day on parking.
Easily gum. Spinach.
I spend a buck or two on a delicious treat every day, though I do share it with a friend often.
It's easy to spend a dollar a day, or even more, on things that are a part of your daily routine. What about Wisconsin Public Radio? Every day you get information and news that helps you understand the world. You also hear music that lifts your spirits and entertainment that makes you smile. So invest a dollar a day in Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe that support is a dollar a day. Maybe it's something else. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
Think of your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio as an investment in your future listening. Give us just a few minutes of your time and your donation in any amount, and in return, you'll get lots of great programs.
Donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and in just a few minutes, you'll have made a wise investment, one that pays dividends every day.
All right, we've got 9 more pledges to go. We've got about half an hour to get them. 2017 marks 100 years of Wisconsin Public Radio, and your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 gives us a strong start to the next 100 years.
And if you are able to do $13 a month or more, ask for your new fun Artist's Mug. This is a mug that has drawings from school children in Wisconsin from the 1950s from the popular WPR program Let's Draw. So it is yours when you give $13 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you very much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 a month or whatever amount you choose. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right, thank you, Bill. Go check on those donuts, okay?
Got it.
This is the Ideas Network. Well, we are talking about ways to stay fit and healthy during this hour. We're talking with the author of 100 Things You Can Do to Stay Fit and Healthy, Simple Steps to Better Your Body and Improve Your Mind. Scott Douglas is our guest, and we are going over some of these tips that we can do. Maybe you're like me and you want to maybe shed a few winter pounds, or maybe you just want to get back into your fitness routine. Lots of easy, simple things to do to stay and fit healthy. We talked a lot about diet and nutrition in our first segment. Now let's talk a little bit more about fitness. Fitness and cardiovascular health are key players in living healthier. Scott, what advice do you have someone who maybe doesn't like working out in a regular workout routine?
My biggest piece of advice would be to keep exploring ways of being more active. And the chances are that you'll find something that you like. So a lot of people think of, well, I have to go to the gym and get on a machine. And, you know, some people like that, but a lot of people don't. And a lot of people think, oh, well, I'm going to start a running program. I happen to be a runner, and I love it. It suits my personality, and it feels good to me physically. But I understand a lot of people don't like that. My wife, for example, is a cyclist. That's what she loves. Try to find things that you like to do, and then it's a lot more likely that you will do them on a regular basis. This sort of gets back to the idea we were talking earlier about, you know, making it easier to do the right thing. So for people who think like, oh, I hate exercise, like, don't try not to think of exercise. Try to think of, what is this activity that I like to do? Could be, I like walking my dog, a couple times a day. And it doesn't have to be some, you know, big production where you go to a gym and get all sweaty and sort of will yourself to get through your allotted time.
Yeah. And I have found that I will not go to a gym and work out on some machine, but I will go to a gym and work out in a group exercise class.
Exactly. So, right. That's a very good point. I mean, there's such a social aspect to exercise and working out for many people that, you know, that makes it more enjoyable and also makes it more likely that you will appear, you know, if you've made this commitment either to yourself or if it's not a formal class, but you're going to meet a friend for a walk or a run or a bike ride, you know, you're of course more likely to do it if you have made this commitment to somebody else that you'll be there.
Yeah. Another tip of yours involves just finding ways to be more active. Why is that the key?
So a big part of the book is this idea that modern life sort of conspires against us being healthy because modern life sort of encourages us to be as inactive as possible, right? I mean, we sit around our homes because our furniture is very comfortable. We sit in our cars to go to work. We sit all day at work, and then we reverse the process. You know, that's not how humans evolved to exist. And so in modern times, we need to, you know, sort of make up ways to be more active, which is not a problem that people had even 100 years ago. But now we need to think like, okay, can I rake my leaves in the fall instead of using a leaf blower? Can I shovel my sidewalk in the winter instead of using a snow blower? These sort of undercurrent of regular activity is, you know, a different idea than like going to a gym and working out for 30 minutes, but it's just as important to sort of good physical and mental health as a, you know, a set workout per day, because that's how we are, you know, that's how we evolved. And, you know, human physiology hasn't just changed in the last 20 years that's no longer a good thing to do.
It's funny. I mentioned to you that my husband purchased this book some time ago, recently. But when I asked him what did you learn from the book, and he said one of the things that he learned was, you know, do the shovel the snow and don't use the snowblower, because I have been pushing him to get a snowblower because and he wants to shovel. He's the only person I know that wants to shovel snow, but
yeah.
He's doing the right thing. By the way, he's turning 67 years old today. So this is Rob's
birthday.
Happy birthday. You also have some great tips in here. It says jump rope. Really?
Yeah. So jumping rope is, I wrote about jumping rope for two reasons. One is, you know, in itself, it's a great activity. If when you're jumping rope, you're burning about the same amount of calories as you do when you run. You're also the low impact but still impact aspect of jumping rope helps strengthen your bones, and sort of the coordination needed to jump rope helps with, you know, balance and sort of, you know, your ability to sort of navigate your way through the world, which, you know, can get trickier as you get older. But I also included it for, you know, sort of a bigger picture reason, in that, you know, we've been talking about simple things that you can do, and jumping rope is a very simple activity. You know, being healthy, having a healthy lifestyle, trying to be fit doesn't have to be a big involved thing with a, you know, a heart rate monitor and a GPS watch and a thing measuring how many calories you burn. It can, you know, be simple and, you know, things that you can do anywhere, like jumping rope.
Yeah. One more tip for this segment. One of your favorite tips, you say, is strengthen your neck. Why?
Yeah. So, I assume a lot of readers, like me, spend a lot of their time sort of sitting with bad posture in front of a laptop. You know, if you sort of picture yourself at a sort of seated workstation, you know, you probably have your head thrust forward a little bit. And I learned this tip a couple of years ago when working on a book with a guy who had won the Boston Marathon a few years ago. And by strengthening the front of your neck, In the book, it describes how you just have a little ball that you press against the wall with the ball on your forehead. But by strengthening the front of your neck, I found almost immediate relief from the sort of chronic low-grade upper back, upper neck, shoulder strain that is a result of sitting in front of a laptop for however many hours a day. I was told the exercise as a way to improve one's running form, but that's all fine and good. But when I started doing it within, again, almost immediately, within a matter of days, like my neck, shoulders felt so much better because I could hold my head more erect and more in place, like with my ears over my shoulders.
I am so doing that. Our guest is Scott Douglas. He is the author of 100 Things You Can Do to Stay Fit and Healthy, Simple Steps to Better Your Body and Improve Your Mind. When we come back from this break, we will talk about things we can do to improve our mind and to reduce our stress, among other things. But first, as they say, we have some important business to accomplish. Bill Martins joins me again as we are in our spring membership drive, and we rely on your support. You rely on WPR for informative, in-depth discussions.
And we're making some headway on that goal, by the way. 5 pledges in the next 20 minutes and we'll be there. So we're doing well there. Your support keeps WPR strong and it helps pay for the Joy Cardine Show. So make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So did you see if there's any donuts in the back room?
Not only are there donuts, there are chips, there's popcorn, cereal, and a bowl of bananas.
Oh, good.
Maureen took a donut and a banana, so I told her that, they kind of cancel each other out, so she's okay.
That's all good stuff. And find a tennis ball next break.
That's
okay?
A great tip, yeah.
I like that tip. So you have been enjoying this conversation about 100 things you can do to stay fit and healthy, simple steps to better your body and improve your mind. And now we are hoping that you will help improve Wisconsin Public Radio's financial health. You get great advice and great discussions on this program every single day. Now, take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is personally important to you, and it's probably also important for you that everyone in the state has access to this high-quality information and entertainment.
So become a member with a contribution of, say, $5 or $10 a month, and you'll not only be doing something good for yourself, you will be doing something good for the entire state, the entire community. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. So are you stressed out? Are you under pressure? Do you want to do some things that will improve your mental health? We'll talk about that now in this segment of the show. We are talking with Scott Douglas, who is the author of 100 Things You Can Do to Stay Fit and Healthy, Simple Steps to Better Your Body and Improve Your Mind. We do welcome your questions. We welcome maybe your own suggestions. You can call in and be on the air with us. We have an open line for you at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So, Scott, we'll talk a little bit about mental wellness now. Safe to say that a lot of us feel under pressure at some point. One of your tips involves controlling your reaction to stress. Walk us through how we can do this.
So the idea there is that there are many things that we can control, and there are many things that we can't control. We can't control whether, as we're driving to work and listening to your show, some guy cuts in front of us.
You're right.
We can control whether we let that person make us lose control of our own selves and flip them off, and get mad, and see our stress hormones rise. and, you know, for no good reason. So the idea there is that we, you know, take a moment, collect yourself, and don't let, you know, somebody else's actions get you more stressed out than you're already going to. There will be enough stress in the day. So why let somebody else increase your stress level?
A tip of yours early in the book is to redouble your health practices in times of stress.
Yes.
Why?
Yes. So, right. So if, you know, if we get busy at work and we have a family crisis, it's pretty typical and understandable that you might say, well, I can't deal with working out today, and I'm just going to go, you know, eat a bag of potato chips lying on the couch. And that feels good in the time when you're doing it. It feels like you're, you know, taking care of yourself. But of course, you know, those aren't good practices for, you know, they're not going to help you feel better the next day, probably. Instead, what I've found in my life and many people I know is to, you know, I need these good practices and habits more than ever when I'm stressed out. So I need to go, you know, find time to, you know, clear my head, go out, walk around the neighborhood for 20 minutes. I need to make sure that I'm eating well so that, you know, my body gets what it needs when it's that much more in need of good nutrition. I need to make an effort to sleep better, or at least sleep well in these times. It's an approach that I think, you know, sort of sounds counterintuitive. You want to baby yourself, but really by taking care of yourself better, then you're able to better deal with the whatever stressful situation that you're in.
I'm going to see if I can take a call from Becky in Verona, but I think we have a phone issue, so unfortunately we're going to have to fix our phone issue. Becky, are you there? No. Becky wants to promote yoga that she, maybe I think my producer put her on. Becky, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I found out, I'm in my 60s, and I started to take yoga, and I found out I couldn't stand on one foot at all. I had terrible balance, and the yoga instructor said that's one of the first things to go is your balance as you get older. So I started practicing standing on one foot. When I brush my teeth, I stand on one foot. When I stir spaghetti, I stand on one foot. When I wash the dishes, I stand on one foot. And eventually, I could stand on one foot now for like 2-3 minutes without toppling over. So I just thought that was a simple thing to do, but it really had great benefits.
So what about yoga, Scott?
Yeah, so, well, so, that's a great tip. It's so good, I put it in my book. The balance is such an important thing for just being sort of a well-functioning person, especially as we get older. I like the caller. When I'm cooking, I sort of alternate standing on one foot. I do the same thing brushing my teeth. Yoga in general is, of course, fantastic on so many levels. Balance, flexibility, things that allow us, again, to be, you know, sort of well-functioning people. But, of course, also the mental benefits of yoga, the ability to sort of slow everything down and concentrate on the moment. It lowers your stress in the moment, and then helps you to have that, you know, produce that ability to have that same mindfulness, same sort of slowing down in other cases, like we were talking about earlier, when somebody does something that might cause you to get stressed out. You know, people who practice yoga have this regular practice of, like, I'm going to, you know, slow things down and just focus on the present. Yoga is fantastic on so many levels.
Yeah. Chris on Facebook says, for our health, we should get a pet, saying a little non-judgmental love never hurt anybody.
Yeah, and also it's interesting, pets, there's actually been studies on pets, and when you pet a a pedible pet, not necessarily a goldfish,
right.
but the studies have been mostly on dogs. People, you know, your blood pressure goes down, your levels of the stress hormone cortisol, which your body releases in reaction to stress, that goes down when you're spending time just hanging out with a pet, and especially petting the pet. It's interesting. The research actually involved petting the pet, and during that time, blood pressure and stress hormone decrease.
Yeah, I like this one. There's so many positive aspects to this one. Planting a garden. I can understand certainly how, boy, my muscles hurt like nothing else when I do gardening because I think,
yeah.
You know, but it also helps us mentally.
Yeah, it's there are a lot of sort of simple things like gardening, like knitting, that that have similar benefits to yoga in that they help lower stress hormones. They help us sort of be present and do one thing at a time, which is something that we don't, that modern life encourages us not to do. And then, of course, you have good food to eat rather
right.
than junk food. Yeah, and, you know, nothing tastes better than something, you know, a tomato that you've just pulled off the vine in August.
You also suggest, and you touched on it there, stop multitasking. What does research tell us about this and why we should stop multitasking?
So, so the main reason is that you're deluding yourself that you are multitasking. Your brain is really microtasking. You're shifting from one little microtask to another when you're, checking your email while you're on the phone. You know, you're not doing both at the same time. You're sort of participating in the phone call, and then when you're looking at your email, you're looking at your email, and then you're going back to the phone call. And the research has shown that your brain needs a couple seconds in each of those cases to readjust to what it's, what you're asking it to do. And that just, you're actually getting less done than if you just sort of pick a task, do it, and then move on to a different type of task. And it also results in that multitasking results in that feeling we all know where, you know, at the end of the day, you're like, gosh, why am I am mentally exhausted and I got nothing done today. It's because you're while you think that you're trying to get, that you're getting more done, you're actually getting less done, but asking your brain to be much more active to accomplish the same amount of things.
Scott, before we end, I did want to get your reaction to a recent study that I just saw in the headlines. We all know that exercise can certainly help our cardiovascular health. But this study also said that undertaking just a few days of moderate intensity aerobic and resistance training during the week is a simple and effective way to improve your brain functions. It helps our cognitive abilities to exercise. I bet you that doesn't surprise you.
No, it doesn't surprise me. And it's great when research like that is reported. So there's been a lot of research that shows that regular exercise improves the changes the structure of the brain. So areas of the brain, including the hippocampus, which is associated with memory, actually grow when we work out a few times a week for just 20 or 30 minutes. The brain structure itself grows, changes in positive ways. So it's a great reminder that when we're physically active, we're helping not just our heart and our muscles and our bones, but we're helping, you know, the most important part of our bodies, especially for public radio listeners, our brains.
Right. You know, we're almost out of time, Scott. Maybe you can leave our listeners with one or two things that they can do today to stay fit and healthy.
Sure. I think the main thing, one main thing would be, and it's not a specific thing, but it's, we talked about it at the very beginning, and that's sort of this idea of making it easy to do the right thing. So set up your life so that it's easier to be more physically active. Set up your life so that it's easier to eat well. Set up your life so that it's easier to take care of yourself. And then once you've built that framework, then you can implement the more specific, exercise, yeah, nutrition task that you want to do.
Thank you so much for being with us. Scott Douglas, author of 100 Things You Can Do to Stay Fit and Healthy. And the fit and healthy Bill Martins joins me with this spring membership drive update. How's it going, Bill?
We're getting there. We're awfully close. We need 3 more pledges in these next 3 minutes to reach that goal. So let's do it, everybody. Make your gift to show your support for the Joy Cardine Show by making that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I certainly hope you learned something new today. I did. I've got all sorts of tips here to stay fit and healthy. That's one of the reasons I enjoy hosting this show, is I do learn something new every single day. You don't get a program like this anywhere else at 6-7 o'clock in the morning. This is possible because of you and your support. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe your WPR listening is worth $4 a day to you. Then become a member of our 9XM Leadership Circle. Contribute $100 a month. That works out to less than $4 a day to support WPR programs. And think about the value you've been getting from WPR in the past year and consider a contribution that puts you in the 9XM Leadership Circle. Sustain the future of WPR. Make your leadership gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We ask that you make a contribution, and we also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable to you. Some give $5 a month, some give $100 a month or more.
That's right. Again, we're looking at 3 more pledges in these next couple of minutes here. We're getting awfully close. We can do it. 2017 marks 100 years of Wisconsin Public Radio, of course, and your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 gives us a strong start to the next 100 years.
30 seconds for us to ask you for your pledge to help us reach that 10 pledge goal. 3 more to go. Will you be one of them? At $5 a month or $10 a month or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And remember, for $13 a month, you can ask for the WPR Artist Mug as your thank you gift. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.